Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Exchange. I'm Damien Chaplin. I am known for my diction.
I'm Zoe. I'm known for my salads.
Known for my salads. Welcome, everyone. We're just going to vamp a little until people show up here. Because people call into the show, but we kind of have to wait for them to actually do that for us to talk about anything important. So this is where we tell you that you can call into the show, and you can do that by going to gabnet.net. That's where you can find all of our stuff. Anyway, right there is a giant button that says Zoom. You can click that, and that will take you to our waiting room, where you will be added. I can add you to our citizen panel, TM Gabnet. It is a live show. It is currently 6:32 on the 4th of the most august month of the year, in the year 2025. You should call us, is what I mean by that. You can do that right now, because this is live, in case you couldn't tell. No scripts on this show. Absolutely no scripted content here. Nope. Anyway, what's up? You just put pork chops in the oven.
I sure did.
Mm-mm-mm.
Do you smell them? Is that how you knew?
No, I could smell the oven, though.
Oh.
The oven's kind of needs maybe a little cleaning, because I can smell it. Anyway, let's talk about pork chops. What are you putting on the pork chops?
I shaked and baked.
Well, okay, but first you put something in the shake and bake, right?
It's just breadcrumbs and egg.
That's it?
Yep.
No seasonings?
Well, there's seasonings in the breadcrumbs. Oh, it's already pre-made breadcrumbs.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And you put them in the oven.
And then you just bake them.
What do you bake them at? 375?
Yeah.
For about as long
such
as...
Such good content.
I know. Well, you know.
Yeah, I figured I'd put them on at the beginning of the show and we could be eating dinner at the end of it.
Okay. Do they take that long?
Yeah, they do take a while. Plus, that was kind of a big, thick one.
It was a huge, thick one, but really, we do an hour show.
Yeah.
Okay. They cook for an hour?
Yeah, about 50 minutes.
Damn. That's crazy. But thank you. I appreciate you making us pork chops. All right. Well, nobody's calling yet.
We could also talk about how much pretend meat products we get at my work where we sell food to grocery stores.
Mm.
And last week I got 2 cases of fake shredded chicken for tacos and 2 cases of fake hot dogs. They're really, really not good.
Faux dog.
But you made me think of them talking about pork chops. Meat.
Meat. We love our meat.
My company loves to bring on vegan and vegetarian items because we're natural food brokers.
And they need the most help.
But some of those products.
Yeah, see... Whoa, that was weird.
I applaud the industry for trying, though.
That's my headphones. Okay. There we go.
Did you blank yourself out?
No, apparently the headphones were on a weird channel, and they decided to switch the channel. So anyway, just had to adjust them real quick.
It's from the user.
It's the user. I wish I knew what he wanted.
Me too. He sends your mom and I both messages through our migraines.
That's your user does that.
Whatever, that's a user. The user.
Your user does that. My user doesn't do that.
Just interferes on your show.
Yes.
In your microphone. Yes. I mean your headphone.
In my headphones, yes. Just in my brain in general. Just not. Doesn't take the shape of auras.
Do we watch anything exciting this week?
Did we watch anything exciting this week?
I mean, besides Star Trek.
Hmm.
We'll save Star Trek for anybody that's calling in.
Nobody's going to call in. It is Monday, right?
But I feel like we watched something that was kind of interesting.
It is Monday?
Yeah, it's Monday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's 6:30?
would be pretty funny if it wasn't.
And we're supposed to be doing a show right now, right? I mean, we didn't say we're going to have the day off?
No.
Didn't tell people
no,
we're
going
to have the day off? Okay. Gosh. Oh, all right. Well, we did watch the finale of Lego Masters, but I was going to save that until Mom got here. But, of course, she's not here.
We did.
Yeah.
We'll save that one, I guess.
What else? We didn't
watch. Oh, we watched a cooking show.
Yeah, but then
that's... But that's no fun to talk about.
Yeah.
I guess nothing else. All that
interesting. Yeah, we've been watching a lot of Farscape.
Yeah.
And, we're kind of... We're in the territory that I don't remember so well. You know, I remember the first couple of seasons pretty well, but after that, I don't remember it so well. Where I think there's only 4 seasons, or maybe there's only 3. I'm not sure.
Are we on 3?
I think we are. I'm not entirely sure. If we're up near the end here, let's see.
Farscape has been fun. It's nostalgic.
Nostalgic?
Yeah, it's puppets. It's 80s, 90s. When is it? Like 88?
No, 1999 is when it started.
Oh, 99.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it seems older.
There are 4 seasons.
Wow, it started in 99? It just seems more dated than that.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I guess we don't really know because we never really see Earth so much. You know, we don't really see what timing we are in Earth. The only thing we can do to period piece it is the quotes that John says.
Well, they're using, you know, they show briefly 1999 technology at NASA.
They do.
Yeah.
Was that really at the beginning? Like, it was only one episode on Earth, right?
He does a couple flashbacks to Earth, you know, and things like that, but...
I was thinking it was more like 80s.
80s?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just the puppets and everything. I don't know. I guess 80s. I just didn't push it in my mind to the late 90s. Well, anyways, if anybody's ever seen Farscape or not seen Farscape, it is a fun sci-fi show to revisit for a little binge.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You kind of have to pay attention. There's some weird, interesting themes, and it's not really a very...
Sometimes you really have to pay attention because sometimes I can't figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, and it's got some themes that you wouldn't see in Star Trek. You know, so, excuse me. It's a lot of fun. They use Jim Henson puppets instead of CGI aliens, which is fun.
And this is my first watch. I didn't see it when it first came out. I had never seen the show before.
Yeah.
Must have been on Sci-Fi Channel during a period of time where I had no access to cable or TV for whatever reason.
I watched this on the Sci-Fi Channel on a television that was so small. It was so small. Man.
Have you rewatched it since?
Yeah, I mean, I have it on DVD. I have the entire series. It's one of the only things that I have on DVD. One of the only series I have in its entirety. When it came out, it blew my freaking mind. You know, it was so different than anything else that had ever been on TV. And because it was on cable, it was on Sci-Fi Channel. They didn't have to worry that it wasn't. They had looser rules than the networks. You know, it's far too edgy for any of the major networks. Alright, well, it says that Mom is trying to join.
Maybe there's a technical issue happening.
Yes, probably.
We don't know if Rin is joining.
Yeah, we never
But do, your mom but... is usually quicker than this.
Well.
How many minutes are we?
It is 6:41. Wow.
Yeah, she's not usually that long. And it's still struggling for her to come up, apparently.
It's struggling, all right. Boy, Well.
Mercury is so in retrograde. I cannot tell you how many times in the last week or two, including today, that I have had to do something more than once.
Technology.
Redo. It's been the name of the game.
Yep. Well, come along, people. Zoom, what is your problem? Boy. You know, I wonder, because when I came on here, Alex had left his line open. And so it just showed a picture of his empty chair still. So he left the Zoom open from when he was...
So it's probably saying other meeting, that you're in another meeting or something.
I wonder.
Is maybe what it's saying to anyone trying to enter?
No. I mean, it shouldn't. Oh, look. Look at what is happening. Mm-hmm. Connecting to audio. Hello.
Hello.
Mom and Bert are here.
Hello.
Hello.
Are we having technology issues?
Well, we've been trying to sign in for like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Well, that would be technology issues. Yes. Mercury is in retrograde and it affects communications all over the place.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
I just gave my spiel. You missed it.
Yep, you missed it. You missed it.
Oh, well.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're fine.
You are fine. Anything new and fun happening over there? New and or fun? What's that?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
I had some yard work done.
Yard work. That's fun.
We didn't do it. We paid somebody to do it.
That's even more fun.
It is a lot more fun.
Being able to afford it's a lot more fun, too.
Yes, yes. Well, we weren't talking about much of anything over here. What have you been up to, Zoe? Any personally?
No. No not projects? Really.
No? Okay. Well, like, I just procured a Transformers G1 Shockwave, and it's in lovely, lovely condition. It's like pristine. It's the first edition, and I bought it for parts of repair. He sold it to me as untested, quote unquote, and I actually bought it entirely on appearances. The box is fantastic for being 40 years old. The figure is also fantastic for being 40 years old. It is, however, broken. However, it has lights and sounds inside. The electronics are all pristine, and it all lights up, and the sounds work. And it just has this issue. It has this ratchet joint in its shoulder, and it works by a spring pushing a sprocket against a friction surface. So it goes click, 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 click when you move the elbow. The spring that they put in there is this monster, huge, high tension spring. And over time, it actually breaks the plastic post that's inside holding it together. So very common thing that it has, that this figure has, is its shoulders are busted, its chest is busted open at the shoulders. But I watched a quick video on YouTube on how to fix it, and I popped it open, and sure enough, it had the exact same issue. So a little plastic weld, and I'm going to piece it back together, and I'm going to sell it for $400, I think.
Cool.
I'm really, really tempted to keep it. A, because I don't have a Shockwave in my collection, and B, because it is in pristine condition. I mean, it's, and now I've been working on it myself. You know, I'm repairing it myself, expertly repairing it. So I'm kind of building a stupid personal connection to it, but I, you know, having any G1 actual from 1984, 1985, and 1986 figure in a box is a rabbit hole I do not want to go down, because then I'm going to feel obligated to collect more 40-year-old figures in the box, and they are, generally speaking, very expensive, which is why I'm selling them at high prices, you know. But it's kind of cool that this is my first Transformer repair. And it'd be kind of cool, because you can buy a Shockwave for parts of repair for like 20, 30 bucks. And it'd be cool to like start repairing them and make them worth more than they are. I don't know that I'm going to do that. I only bought this one because the box by itself is worth what I paid for it. Let's just put it that way. We were going to talk about, they crowned the new Lego Master. Mom,
they did. I didn't see it yet.
We won't talk about it yet.
I don't mind spoiler alerts. I mean, I don't mind spoilers.
You got to see who wins.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk about what your opinion was of the winner and of the final outcome, I should say. That's your homework for next week. It's watch the finale, and we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Just because.
Well, how far away from the finale are you?
I think I just have the finale to watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you're only 1 week behind,
I think I was pretty caught up on it.
Yeah. If you're only 1 week behind, then. Yeah, because I think it was much closer than. It was a pretty close outcome, I think. Anyway. I want to talk about this one subject, and I don't know how to talk about it because it's the most depressing thing I can possibly think of that happened this last week. And that was on Friday. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting said that they would be shutting down. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gives millions of dollars to national public radio and public broadcasting system across the country. We don't know quite what the... Maybe, Bert, you can speak on this, but I don't really know what this means for NPR and PBS. Who's, you know, generally speaking, about 50% of their funding is from, you know, people like you.
And the thing is that, especially in like all the red states and the small populations, the rural populations, that's the only means they have to get emergency things, you know?
Yeah, this is also includes the emergency broadcast system, does it not? Yes, I mean...
Yeah. That's why I like KPFA. It's totally listener sponsored.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there will be still options out there, this is seriously the most depressing thing I can. The most depressing news I have heard in a very long time. Really, really, they're gonna just gonna shut the shit down because this was bad. I mean, who thinks that fucking PBS and NPR are bad? Well, apparently, the MAGA people said that it was a waste of money and that public broadcasting has a liberal lean to it. And all I can say is, guess what, dudes? Society has a liberal lean to it. That's why public broadcasting has a liberal lean. It's not because they're biased. It's because that's just the way people are, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bert.
Newt Gingrich, back in the early 90s, went after Big Bird. He says, well, we got Discovery Channel. We don't need all this shit, you know?
Well, yeah, except, you know, there are still many people across this country who do not have cable. They do not have internet. You know, these are the people who are browsing, still browsing the dollar VHS tapes, you know, at the local store, at the local Goodwill, because that's their entertainment, man. That's their connection to the outside world, is they got a VCR and a TV. And so, I mean, we all grew up. Maybe, you know, some of us more than others, but I mean...
I never grew up.
That's right, I did not either.
I'm with you, Bert.
You never grow up means you never grow old. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in a time when there was literally five channels, and one of them was PBS. And I honestly, without PBS, nobody would know what Doctor Who was.
Sesame Street,
you know, I mean, some people didn't grow up on Sesame Street. I find that shocking, but, you know, the rest of us did. And, I mean, and nature documentaries, those were all on PBS. It wasn't fucking
Ken Burns.
Yeah. It wasn't Fox that was, you know, displaying this shit, you know?
My mom loved a murder mystery show that was on there.
Yeah, and
I'm
like
forgetting
I said,
the name
this
of.
Doesn't necessarily mean PBS is shutting down, but it does mean that they're going to have a much harder time because they did get a lot of their funding from the federal government.
And it's just spite because it's a minuscule part of our national budget.
Yes, it is. Especially considering how much money we're throwing at Israel and, you know, how much money we just throw into our military in the first place. I mean, we are seriously living in the worst timeline here. You know, I mean, I just, something happened and now we're on this weird trajectory and now we're shutting down PBS because it's too liberal. You know, I mean, it's the fucking Muppets and it's fucking animals. I mean, what do you mean it's too liberal?
They do do programs on, you know, climate change. And of course, that's not to even mention these days.
No,
and the civil rights movement.
That's right. You're not allowed to talk about that either.
And PBS NewsHour is, you know, has always been one of the more reliable news sources. One of the least biased news sources. I mean, they had, I will say, absolutely, they have a liberal cant. But guess what?
Oh, yeah.
That's because society has a liberal cant, you know? Society has a cant toward progress, you know? And
decency.
And not putting money over everything everything else. And yeah. I don't understand what is happening to people. I don't understand.
The approach is the purpose.
I mean, this reality has just become so depressing. And, my psychiatrist asked me why I smoke weed, and all I can say is because everything is terrible, and if you don't smoke weed, you're just going to be crying or screaming all the time, you know?
Or drinking.
Yeah, or drinking, exactly. It's all horrible. It's horrible. I don't know.
Meanwhile, so many people weren't getting hurt.
Right. You know, I mean, there's just, this is terrible. We are literally just killing people out of our own, greed.
I saw a clip with him saying you can't drive prices by 1,500%, you know? I mean, and they talked about Biden being,
Well, on top of that, they just upped the tariffs on drugs.
Yeah.
How can he say he reduced the price when he upped the tariffs on them?
That's on imports.
Well, that's where we get a lot of our drugs on imports.
Yeah. You know, and
the tariffs on them, you're making drugs more expensive, period.
I mean, honestly, the tariffs thing and the economy thing is wackadoodle. And that would be one thing. But shutting down public systems and while at the same time funding a genocide across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that I I just am having such a hard time comprehending why
did Monty Python.
Literally the entire world sees what Israel is doing and sees what the United States is enabling, you know, and how why are the people who run our country not just aware of what the rest of the world thinks of us?
No,
of course they're aware of it. They don't give a fuck, you know, and I just, go ahead, sorry.
South Park has it right. I was forced to watch an episode the other day with my daughter, and the basic point was Trump was in bed with the devil.
Yes.
Yeah. And well, see,
there is just some funkiness happening over in there.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. It's like literally these people are evil, capital E, and I don't... It's like they never prepared me when I was a kid to fight capital E evil, you know? I mean, they just taught me to be a good person and that others would be good people, you know, if I led by example. And
politically, we would hear our parents talk smack about Bush when he's in office or someone else when they're in office. But none of those people are even comparable. Politically, this is a completely new landscape of insanity. Our system was broken and weird, but it was still decent.
The the Make America Great Again party is literally dismantling every single thing that made this country great.
And they can't do anything right.
I mean, I don't understand.
So inept.
Then no, I mean they seem to be quite adept at, you know, tearing the shit down and just canceling everything, you know, just cancel everything, cancel all our subscriptions.
And no more park rangers.
Yeah, no more parks. Yeah. Who needs parks, you know? I mean, we just build them on top of Trump Tower, and there's your park, right? So, woof. Hello, when I said woof, the dog poked me with its nose. I don't know what's going on. I mean, there is an argument that perhaps, you know, the public broadcasting in the way it was formed is not necessary any longer because we have things like, I mean, everybody can do a fucking podcast now. So, you know, you have kind of a leveling, we're all, and unfortunately that leveling is like to the lowest common denominator.
We have no way of knowing if what somebody says is the truth or not, whereas if somebody on PBS says it, it probably is the truth. I mean, maybe, they're trustworthy.
Maybe it's
just some podcast YouTube or something.
I'm playing devil's advocate here, but maybe it's time to dismantle all of these giant media systems who are telling us what to think, and we should all think for ourselves. Basically, that's what it's come down to already. You know, we're eliminating all of the media sources that were giving us what we perceived as the truth, and now the only remaining media sources are sources that we just simply can't rely on at all. And so what you have left is a bunch of people who are either going to be A, completely ignorant of what's going on because they don't believe anything they hear, or B, a bunch of people who are actually going to do their own research and figure out what's going on because they don't believe everything they hear.
But you know that do your own research means Googling it and believing everything you read.
Pizzagate.
I read 17 entries on Reddit about this, damn it. I am an expert. I read more entries than they did before they posted, and so now I am more of an expert than all 17 of these people.
You ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
No, not by that name.
People of lower intelligence always think they're smarter than they are.
Oh, yes. Actually, I would say that that's the same with people of high intelligence. I think that's just people. Yeah, I think that people on the whole think that they're hot shit. And, that, you know.
Just like most of the population believes that they're a better than average driver.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All our children are above average.
But yeah. honestly, if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be here anymore. You know, we'd all just give up and say, it's over. You know, yeah, it's our hubris that keeps humanity alive.
Yeah.
Anyway, gosh, should we talk about Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. Sometimes we have to talk about something real. And now let's talk about something fake within something fake within something fake. This is, of course, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Season 3, Episode 4, A Space Adventure Hour. Woof. Mom and Bert, what did you think of this episode?
Well, I first saw the things that were holding up the evil thing.
Yes. The little sticks. What did you think about the episode? You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it a great deal. I thought it was hilarious. And I thought they were extremely clever in the way they wrote it. I mean, there were so many references to the original series. It was hilarious, including William Shatner's overacting.
Yes.
Pointed out.
Which he did quite well, I thought, too.
Yeah, well, that's what's his name? Is that Anson Mount? Is that his
Paul,
name?
Paul Wesley.
Good.
Yeah, Paul Wesley.
Paul Wesley playing Kirk. And,
that's right, it was.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Zoe, what did you think of the episode?
I couldn't tell if I thought it was great or a little silly. I was really torn.
Both.
But, I mean, it was both. But I kind of thought there were some parts to it that were, like, really good. Like, kind of some great writing where they twisted it around just right.
Yeah.
But some of it was a little bit cheap. You know, back to what you were saying the other week about them being, what was the terminology you used for them? Whimsical.
Whimsical, yes.
Like a little less whimsy, but that's okay. I still really enjoyed it.
All right.
What'd you think?
Well, if you asked me yesterday, I would have said I hated this episode.
Really?
Remember in Enterprise when they had the Borg, but they couldn't call them the Borg because nobody knew.
Yeah, because they hadn't met them yet.
Yeah, they had to figure out a way to retcon the Borg into Enterprise. That's what this felt like. They were retconning the holodeck back into Strange New Worlds. And then,
but
of course,
the holodeck appeared in the original animated series.
Yes, and they actually
with that console thing in the same room.
And they actually make a reference to it in this episode when Pike calls it the recreation room, because that's what it's called in the animated series. It's they call it the rec room, the recreation room, and so, that said, today we rewatched it for me to take notes, and I found that there was actually a lot here. You know, I was annoyed because they were doing another fucking holodeck episode, and we only have 10 or 12 episodes in the season. I mean, it was one thing when you had 27 episodes, 29 episodes, but when you only got 10 or 12 or 14, you know.
I think we only have 10.
I mean, this was neither Strange nor New nor World. You know, this was just literally, let's use Paramount's backlot again.
It's
very derivative of The Big Goodbye. It's very derivative of Elementary, My Dear Data. And there's some things
Very similar to the Data one.
Yes. there was some good stuff here. You know, Paul Wesley playing William Shatner doing Kirk was hilarious. Anson Mount.
I thought it was excellent. And their program, they had the fans came in and insisted on another season, and they got it. I mean, come on.
And Anson Mount playing the Gene Roddenberry comp.
Yeah, with the curly hair.
I thought this was some of the best acting that I've seen Anson do. Because he really
does. Very good.
He is really just a completely different character. And he said he studied Gene Roddenberry interviews in order to do that. And I'm like,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, but I'm like, that is that really what Gene was like in the 60s?
They really did take away all of his power, and he just became a consultant instead of one of the producers.
Yeah. So I don't, I don't know.
But that didn't happen during the original series. That happened during...
No, that was the original series.
They took away his power during Next Generation, I think.
Well, yes. Yeah. It was good. You know, the Last Frontier, the show, actually this is... The show within the show within the show.
No kidding. They even ran credits, and I'm going, yes. Is this show within a show or the show itself?
Yes.
And then as the thing went on, here's these same names coming up. So, that was for The Last Frontier, not for Strange New Worlds.
Amelia Hill, or Laan dressing up as Amelia Hill is just Picard dressing up as Dixon Hill again. Amelia Moon.
They're doing something interesting with the Laan character because they're having her. This is the second one where she's been dancing, and they're spotlighting her right and left, which is kind of a surprise.
So this is one of my problems with this series, is that I appreciate them showing us characters like Una and Laan and Pike, even that we don't really know anything about. And so it's totally fine for them to give us backstories and things we've never heard of to these characters. But they're playing very fast and loose with Spock. And, you know, giving Spock dancing lessons where literally this beloved character that we've known for decades has never danced. Never mentioned dancing. And so... I try to take this series on its own, but they themselves are trying to tie it in with the existing lore that we knew about, and it's really hard. It creates a cognitive dissonance for them to create all of this backstory and side story stuff for Spock that is never mentioned again. That said, we don't know where this is going. It could be that Laan dies tragically after they fall in love, and that's why Spock never speaks of her again. It could be that Laan has to go through a wormhole to the 32nd century, and they just have to never speak of them again. That's what happened to Michael. This is the inherent problem with doing a prequel. You know, you're filling in a lot of backstory to characters that we already had established backstory to, and we thought we had them pretty firm, you know, but suddenly Spock's a dancer, and, you know, over multiple episodes. And so it just makes me think that there's going to be some writer's cheat coming up where Laan is killed tragically, and now, just to honor her memory, Spock will never dance again. You know, I mean, it just seems like they're going to have to pull some stupid writer's trick like that to explain why Spock never dances again.
I don't think they need to explain it. I mean, he's very young in here, and he's going to be quite a lot older when the original series starts. His personality has probably changed. You know, things are different.
None of them are the same.
He doesn't need to mention it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm too worried about it either.
All right.
Yeah.
But I didn't really need to see him and Laan dance again.
No, I didn't.
I feel like we already had that kind of a lot.
When,
although lawn dancing is very pretty to look at, there's no question.
Well, they're very cute.
Something is necessary.
Yes,
they're both very cute.
Yes, they're very gorgeous to watch. Nothing, definitely.
But I didn't really need to see it again.
Yeah, no.
I was like, okay, come on, you guys, hurry up.
some throwaway lines. Oh, Pelia's out on leave or something. Yes, yes. Throwaway line, explain why Pelia's not here. You know, that engineer that you made a big deal about hiring. Yeah, no. Yeah, just explain away. And while we're at it, didn't Scotty come on board like last month? Is the engineering team like literally just Pelia and Scotty? And so when Pelia's on leave, Scotty's in charge? How is Scotty in charge? You know, I mean, isn't he like the most junior engineering officer on the Enterprise? But seniority wise, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I have a lot of questions about a lot of the stuff that happens in this. That's why I'm like, there's a lot here, but a lot of it just kind of raises questions. Like, they explain that the only high def images they have are those that are from the transporter records of the crew. And so that's why the, you know, people in the holodeck are going to look like the crew. Why do they all look like the bridge crew? Why is Kirk there? Kirk's not actually part of the crew at all.
But he's been on the ship before, so the scan had imaged him. He's in the data bank.
Scotty chose these people to put in there. You know, he's like, yeah, no, we're going to throw Kirk in there, and we're going to throw a little Spock in there, and we're going to throw... I mean, he could have chosen anyone of 203, we hear the crew roster, 203... crew members, just to throw on off, but no, we're going to throw in, you know, the captain, and also the captain of some other ship, and yeah.
Well, that's not Jim Kirk, that's Sam Kirk.
No, Paul Wesley plays Jim Kirk.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Sam Kirk's the guy with the one with the mustache. We saw him two episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right, okay, yeah. I remember
him. Something like that. I knew immediately that Spock was a hologram. As soon as she walks into the holodeck and Spock is there waiting for her, I'm like, yep, that's a hologram. I mean, I've seen Ship in a Bottle. You know, that's the other one that this reminds me of, is Ship in a Bottle. Where, you know, it's Spock is a hologram who can defeat Lon and can call the Arch. And they don't make any big deal out of it. No. You know, let's just shut the AI down completely. We hear the first time of the holodeck leveling system, which is kind of cool. As you progress through the adventure, you level up, and then the holodeck makes it harder. And this is very much like what a video game does these days, is... And if you start using one tactic, the computer will see that, and it will adjust its tactics, and it will, you know, throw something different at you. We get that in video games right now, so it's kind of cool to hear that the holodeck is continually doing this, because, you know, some of the holodeck episodes in, like, Next Gen, the holodeck just kind of seems like a storybook gone awry, and there's not really any... central AI running everything the way that they show it in this episode. So, you know, that's the one thing I did enjoy, was like kind of seeing the behind the scenes of how the holodeck works. Like Scotty running around in that room in the science lab, you know, just kind of, let me plug this cartridge in over here. Oh, let me run and plug this cartridge over here. Let me take this cartridge out and stick it in this slot over here. They love doing that. Those cartridges, man, they go in one slot and they do one thing, and then you take them out and you put them in the other slot, and it saves everything. It's amazing. Why, I don't know why that cartridge wasn't in that slot in the first place. I mean, anyway. I both like and dislike the meta commentary on Star Trek in the episode. I liked the behind the scenes part where they were making jokes about Star Trek, You know, like Chapel has a line, my lines and my skirts kept getting shorter and shorter. And I'm like, okay, I liked that stuff. But what I did not like was Uhura's character basically doing a speech about how great Star Trek is. And, you know, and she does this in like the third act. She just goes on and you get this swelling music behind her. And I'm like, okay, you guys, this is going too far. You know, the meta commentary is going too far. We don't need Star Trek to toot its own horn. We don't need it to pat itself on the back. And we don't need it to convince the viewers that Star Trek is cool. You know, I just, who is this speech for? Are they really?
These are people that don't understand what science fiction is really.
Are those people watching this show?
They might be.
Really? I mean, I just don't. I mean, this whole thing was aimed at, I feel like, such a very tiny portion of the viewers that were watching. You know, because the rest of us, we know, man. We know we're watching Star Trek. Have for many, many years. That's the one thing that I didn't like. What did you guys think about the beginning of Scotty/Uhura? Do you think that that's what we saw here? The beginning of Scotty/Uhura?
I don't know.
Because This is a retcon that, you know, we know nothing about Scotty and Uhura's relationship until Star Trek V, when apparently they're dating. And we're all like, what? And and that came out of nowhere. So are they trying to establish that this is where Scotty and Uhura became friends? Or, like, started becoming close or something? Because Scotty and Uhura have a lot of
I didn't get sexual undertones from that interaction.
No, I don't either. And we never got sexual overtones between the two of them, even in Star Trek V. They had terrible, terrible chemistry together. Jimmy Doohan and Nichelle Nichols, just terrible chemistry together. I just thought that was...
Could have been.
Mm-hmm. I like that hologram Spock is walking around and he has one of those yarn walls on his pad where he's got photos of people and he's got lines going in between each other to do the connections like you would see on a detective show where they've got photos up on a bulletin board. They got yarn going from photo to photo to photo. And Spock's got one on his pad. I thought that was kind of funny. They show it to us real quick. And what else do I got? Do I have anything else? I got everything. Ortega's reinstated. That was a throwaway line. I guess we're not going to deal with that. We're not going to deal with the aftermath of Ortega's from last episode where she was grounded? No, Ortega's is reinstated. Okay. I guess that was that. I don't know. I guess, generally speaking, I don't want any more holodeck episodes. Okay, we've had enough. No more holodeck episodes.
No more episodes that take place entirely on a planet. Especially one that looks exactly like Earth.
One that looks exactly like the Paramount backlot? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
we just don't need yet another holodeck episode where they get stuck in the holodeck and they can't get out. And, oh yeah, the holodeck safeties are off too. And only this time they put the twist on it that it was the AI who turned the safeties off. And shut off communication with the outside because it was like, nah, you're staying here until you solve the problem or solve the mystery. I thought, I don't know, that seems a little sketchy. Maybe that's what you should put in a box and file under a table, as Pike says. And we get the throwaway line at the end that, you know, holodecks are not fit for current Starship use, but maybe someday, wink at the camera. Maybe someday, but we're going to need, they're going to need their own dedicated power source. Blah, blah, blah. And then they spend a lot of time and a lot of production money on doing fake outtakes for us during the credits. What did you guys think of the fake outtakes at the end?
I think they were already in their costumes and they already had the set made for the scene, so they were just having fun with it.
That's what you think, Mom?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay, all right.
They did seem to be playing.
Yes.
I mean, if you're already in the outfit, you might as well do something silly.
I wonder how much of it was scripted and how much really was just them playing around. Because, Paul Wesley trying to lift his leg over the back of the chair.
That was pretty funny.
And not making it. He tries to do the Riker maneuver and ding, 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 this episode directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Well, it was? Also,
yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, apparently, he didn't notice that the chair back was way too high to fling your leg over unless you were a contortionist. I mean, when Jonathan Frakes does it, the back is not that high on the chair.
Well, also Jonathan Frakes is like 6'3".
So much longer legs.
Yeah, his crotch is much higher, and he can clear much taller chairs than perhaps Paul Wesley can.
We have not seen Jonathan Frakes clear a chair that tall. I mean, that was ridiculously tall.
No, but I'll bet you he could.
Maybe.
I could. I think that should
probably
be.
Have.
I think that should be an Olympic competition from now. How tall of a chair can you, do the Riker maneuver over? And, anyway, gosh, we don't have much else to talk about, because that was the end of the episode. So, yeah. Oh, I do have a little bit of Star Trek news we could talk about here at the end. And this was stuff that came from Close Ad. This was stuff that came from SDCC. About Strange New Worlds Season 3. And co-showrunner Henry Alonzo Myers teased that there are more changes to come in Season 3. There are more things that we try to do we've never done before. There's a couple episodes coming up that will be a big surprise.
They always say that.
I know. I don't want to reveal it because some of it will spoil how you approach it, but there's definitely some genres that have not been done in Star Trek before that we go into in 3. And there's even more of them in Season 4. What genres has Star Trek not done yet?
Puppets.
Puppets. They said several times they were going to do a murder mystery, but that's not new. Star Trek has done murder mysteries a lot of times.
Yes, and didn't we just have one? I mean, literally, this was a murder mystery episode.
They said that before this one came out. I assumed they were talking about this episode.
Oh, okay.
But the whole time I was watching it, I was saying, this isn't new. They've done murder mysteries, a lot of them. Even the original series had murder mysteries.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. That's what they told us that they were going to, an example of what they were going to do. Well.
And, both him and Akiva Goldsman said that Cybok will be back. We got that hint of Cybok way back when. And he will be we will see a version of Cybok, and we will see the return of the Romulans. And as far as the puppets are concerned, Akiva Goldsman says, there might have been an unexpected and terrible transporter accident which might have had some unexpected felt-like effects. But we look forward to learning about it in Season 4. And yeah, seriously, folks, seriously.
Well, we saw an ad for Season 4 with Pike as a puppet.
Yes. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. These are just like you just said, these are the genres that Star Trek has not done yet. And the article actually mentions black and white silent slapstick. I mean, what literally, what has Star Trek not done? It has literally done everything over its 50-year lifetime. So, yeah.
Well, they hadn't done a musical, and then Strange New Worlds did a musical.
And an anime crossover.
And it was terrible.
And an animation crossover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was apparently going to be an animated series crossover. There was going to be a yeah. But that they're kind of scrapping that. It's what I read. We considered doing an all animated sort of TAS version of the show, and we abandoned it. There are a series of ideas we just end up not. We have 10 episodes per season, so that was one we really dug pretty deep into, but ultimately abandoned. Yeah, again, we have 10 episodes per season. Stop giving us holodeck episodes, please. Please. That's all I ask. Just regular, can we please go visit Strange New Worlds? It's the title of the show. I would like to visit Strange New Worlds, please. But anyway, that was kind of all the Star Trek news I had. So why don't we just go ahead and close it on out? What do you think? Let's just do that.
Let's do that.
And we'll do that. And okay. Mom and Bert, thanks for joining us this week. We will talk to you again next week. And watch Lego Masters.
Bye.
Okay.
The next Star Trek.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, and that'll do it for us for this week as well. Please check out all of the lovely offerings the Great American Broadcast Network has to offer. That would be this show, The Ramble, The Intersection, and The Arena, and also many others. Check them out. Gabnet.net is where you find them. I'm Damien Chaplin.
And I'm Zoe.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great week. And remember, when it comes to great conversation, the X marks the spot. Good night.
Good night.
That's a wrap.